That brings us to the 15th chapter now of the book of Numbers. The children of Israel came to a point of decision. It was at Kadesh Barnea. And as you know, decisions are the difficult things for all of us in this life, and especially for a Christian. Many times we come to the crossroads and we're not sure which way to go. Now, it was crystal clear to these people which way they should have gone. They went the wrong way, and they were faced with the problem of either entering the land by faith or turning back in unbelief into the wilderness. And when they looked into the wilderness, they decided they'd try to go back into the land. But it was the wrong decision then, because it wasn't a decision by faith. It was that they just didn't want to face that wilderness. They had had 2 years of it, and it was not a very comfortable place to be. So back into the wilderness now, they must go, because they presumed to go. And presumption is as dangerous as unbelief for a child of God. And many of us need to be very careful about presuming. I was talking to a party the other day. He's a businessman, and he has had a responsible position, and he was laid off from this responsible position. And in the meantime, he'd made a move, bought a new home and new furniture. That is, a great deal of it was new. Some of it had been stored. And just as he and his wife beginning life all over again, why, this thing happens. And his question to me was, why would God let this happen to me, especially since he led me to do this, that is, buy a new home? Well, I said, I recall hearing you talk during the time you were buying the new home. You were not sure of the leading of God at the time, and you very frankly said you didn't want to move into that area at all. And now you're blaming God for all of that. I said, could it be that you were just moved by presumption, and you did this by presumption? Well, he said, I just thought God would bless me. My friend, we need to be very careful as believers whether we are moving by faith or by presumption. And somewhere between those two is the will of God. It's worthwhile to spend time to find out what the will of God is. Now God has turned them back into the wilderness, and the wandering in the wilderness from Kadesh Barnea is what we have before us now. Here, walking is turned to wandering. Marching is turned to murmuring. Witnessing now is turned to wailing. Warring is turned to wobbling. Singing is turned to sighing. And working is turned to wishing. And unfortunately, a great many Christians go through life just like this. Now, the interesting thing is that this period is not recorded. Actually, there is no record of it anywhere. Only a few incidents are recorded, and we'll look at those incidents. They're really silent years. And when we get over to the 33rd chapter, which is about as uninteresting as any chapter could be, you have the log of the journeys. And these incidents can be fitted in there. But reading the log, you know that you're not given a detailed account. These are wasted years that the children of Israel. Now, we can know a great deal about them during this period. We know when we get over to the book of Joshua in the 5th chapter that they did not circumcise their children during this period, which means they were not fulfilling the will of God relative to the covenant God had made to Abraham. And we also know that they did not offer sacrifices at the tent. In fact, it's Amos that tells us over in the 5th chapter, verse 25, he says, have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chiyun, your images, the star, your God, which ye made to yourselves. So that they did not offer sacrifices at the tent of meeting at all, the sacrifices that pointed to Christ. And not only that, they worship idols in this period. And Stephen, in that long discourse that he gave in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. He says in verse 42, "Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, 'O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon.'" You see, the children of Israel were not faithful to God during this period at all. We know something of their faithlessness. Now they are turned back into the wilderness, and those years of wandering have many lessons for us today. To begin with, you and I are pilgrims and strangers in this world. And in God's sight, the world today is a wilderness. Now, it may not look that way to us. Some of us here in Southern California, we've never felt this was a wilderness. Of course, it's covered with smog and traffic now. But nevertheless, we never think of it as a wilderness. But God looks upon this world as a wilderness. And you and I, as believers, are just passing through this world as strangers and pilgrims. Now notice in chapter 15 what he has to say to them. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you." Now notice this, they can delay God's blessing, but they cannot destroy God's purpose. That is the whole theme of this chapter here. God goes forward, and the people are going backward. They're turned back into the wilderness out of which they've come. God said they were going to enter, and as far as that is concerned, it's as good as done. That's the reason a great deal of prophecy is put in what is known as a prophetic tense. In the Old Testament, it's put in actually as past tense. As far as God is concerned, it's done, friends. When he says it's going to come to pass, well, it's come to pass in his program. Now we find out that actually, at this particular stage, God says, "When ye come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you," these are the things you're going to do. Well, 40 years later, Israel in a new generation, they entered the land, and they did the things that their fathers disbelieved. Now, here is some of the things that God says to them that they were to do when they got in the land. God says, "I'll make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice in performing a vow, or in a freewill offering or in your solemn feast, to make a sweet savor unto the Lord of the herd of the flock. Then shall he that offereth his offering unto the Lord." And then he goes on to talk to them about this offering, and he says that a hin of oil was to be put on it. That speaks of the Holy Spirit. And you're to put a hin of wine for a drink offering, and that speaks of joy. And the ram here is also offered, not only a lamb, but a ram is to be offered. And then in verse 8, "When thou preparest a bullock." In other words, God talks to them about exactly what they're going to do when they enter the land. This is just same as done as far as God is concerned. But now in the wilderness, they'll turn back to idolatry. But the new generation that's coming into the land are going to offer these offerings that all speak of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, may I just intrude here with a word relative to this as it is applicable to us today. How many of us, as believers, probably you listen to this Bible study, and you go to a good church, I'm sure, and on Sunday you serve the Lord. But actually, on Monday, are you serving God? Are you serving the Lord Jesus? When you go to work, put on your workday clothes, are you serving Christ then just as you did on Sunday? Or really are you serving the gods of this world today? How many Christians today, the minute that Monday comes, they lapse right back into the program of the world, and the Lord Jesus is forgotten for all day Monday? Does he go with you for Monday, friends? You see, God says when you get into the land, these offerings all speak of Christ, and these are the things that you're to do. But in the wilderness, these people, they turned away from these things. And again, may I say, are you today living a secular life during the week and a sort of a sacred religious life on Sunday? It's no good, friends. I tell you, the Lord Jesus, he wants to go into the marketplace with you. He wants to go into the marts of trade and on the streets of this world today. And he's as real there as he is in your church on Sunday. I can assure you that. How we need to see this. Now, there's a great deal in this chapter that we could deal with, but I'm not going to deal with it because this actually is to be the law for them when they get into the land. You see, they're not going to be there till 40 years. But God, he's going ahead. To him, it's just same as done. He mentions something here that we've seen already in Leviticus, and that is, verse 24, "Then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation," and so on. And God says here, they're to bring a kid of the goats for a sin offering. And again, may I remind you of something that is very important today. There's a great deal of debate today. Are the heathen who've never heard the gospel, are they lost? May I say to you, they're not lost because they're ignorant of the gospel. They're lost because they're sinners. And sins of ignorance had to have an offering, friends. And so men are lost, not because of whether they've heard or haven't heard the gospel. That's not the test today. I disagree with those who insist that it is. Now, I think every man ought to have the opportunity to hear the gospel and make a decision. But the man's lost long before the gospel. You see, Christ came to save the lost. And men are lost. That's their natural state. Now, if a few mud turtles are taught to fly and they enjoy flying, that doesn't mean that if the rest of the mud turtles don't learn to fly, that they are being deprived of something, because the mud turtles actually like the mud and like it down there in the water. They don't care for flying. The lost are not sitting down grieving today because they've not heard the gospel. If you've ever had the opportunity of taking the gospel to those that haven't heard it, you recognize they're not anxious to hear it, friends. We need to recognize that today, and that's a great message here. Now, in the last part of this chapter, and I will not dwell on it because I don't want to insist on it, but you will find out we have here, "While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they found him gathering sticks, brought him to Moses." What did they do? Why, he was stoned to death. You say that's pretty severe. Yes, but that's breaking one of God's commandments in that day. Now, that actually means this, that the death penalty was enforced, or was the penalty, for breaking all of the Ten Commandments. I think that is quite obvious here. And then we have the children of Israel told here to put a border of blue, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout the generations." They have put fringe of blue on the bottom. What's that for? Well, they are to be reminded of the fact that blue is a heavenly color, that they are God's people, and they are to have a heavenly walk down here in this earthly sphere in which we're walking today. And there are many believers today that need to have that border of blue to make very clear to the world that they are living for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's very important.